Folks, I ask you a rhetorical question. I think it's an answer would be yes to every time I would ask this, and that is, who does not love special deliveries? I remember when I was growing up, nobody would ever drive down our road. It felt very lonely where I grew up. And there was this cream-colored truck. It was refrigerated. It had a freezer in the back, and it was called the Schwan's Man. I remember when the Schwan's Man would come, we would get so excited because we thought, how in the world could this guy find our house? How much he must love us to deliver these great big plastic pails of pleasure to us. I had a friend when I was growing up, he would spend the night, and my mom would say, hey, boys, the Schwan's Man is coming today. And he always thought that she said, Swan's Man. And so he thought that this guy was delivering birds in his refrigerated cream-colored truck. Either way, it was always a special delivery. When I was in college, if you attended school somewhere, I'm guessing that your mother has sent you or did send you a care package. I used to love my care packages, little love notes from my mom saying, thinking about you, love you, and baked cookies for you, but I never got to see the cookies because my roommates and college dorm mates would eat them all before I could get to them. And then there is, and again, I think that I'm not alone in saying this. I think one of the most special deliveries is the pizza that comes to your door. I don't know why, but I think pizza tastes better when they deliver it instead of picking it up. I always get excited when the doorbell rings and you're so hungry and you know that it's about time to enjoy that special round thing that they call pizza. You know, I realize as I'm doing this, there's a food trend here, and oftentimes in my life, I think I'm fully consecrated and dedicated to things food. Well, speaking of food and delivery, NPD reports that one of the fastest growing industries is actually the food delivery industry, where companies like Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash are experiencing exponential growth in their respective field. Thanks to Amazon and the aforementioned organizations, delivery, folks, is a huge deal in our ever-changing and evolving world. Now, what if I told you that our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior are in the delivery business as it applies to all of us? Is it possible that together they specialize in spiritual and special delivery of people? Not products or packages, but rather people. Taking them from one place to another. Isn't delivery in its simplest form the transportation of an important piece to an important place by someone who's trusted and capable and powerful enough to do it? And let's make no mistake about it. God the Father and Jesus our Savior are trustworthy, capable, and powerful enough to do it. Now, we're going to ascribe titles to them that are biblical and spiritual. You know God as your Heavenly Father. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's establish today, based on biblical principle, that they too are our deliverers. Maybe a title that you've not ascribed to them before, maybe not thought about before, but we know today that they are those individuals. David said in Psalm 40, verse 17, he says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We move on to Psalm 70, verse 5, you hear similar words. O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. Psalm 144, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, who is my immovable rock. He is always kind and loving to me. He is my fortress, my tower of strength. He is my safety. He is my deliverer. And even in Romans 11, 26, Jesus is referred to and called the deliverer. It is no wonder then in Exodus 3, 8 that God tells Moses, I have come to deliver my people. Now we think of delivery in terms of pizza and presents and packages, but God and His Son deliver people. These people, us sinners, we need to be delivered. You see, we are the important pieces that God and Jesus want to take to that desired place. And only God and Jesus can deliver us to that desired place. In Matthew 6, 13, Jesus, in his model prayer, we know it is the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to say this and pray this as we pray to our Heavenly Father, Father, deliver us from evil. That means that we want our Heavenly Father to deliver us from a bad place to a God place, from being lost to being found, from an unconfessed place of unrepentant sin to a place called salvation, from the broad highway to hell to the narrow road of heaven. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 tells us this. Now, we are likely inclined to anticipate something being delivered to someone, not someone being delivered from something. But that something that we are delivered from is sin. And we can only be delivered by it through God and His Son. Jesus understands His special delivery. Because as Romans 4:25 tells us, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now we're going to be talking about that word justification at length in a few moments. Our deliverer was at one time the delivered. In Matthew 27, Jesus' crucifixion account, four times, four verses, 2, 18, 26, and 58 of Matthew 27, it says that Jesus is, or He was delivered for our sins. Make no mistake about it, He is that special, my people. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says Jesus delivered us. Acts 2:23 says that Jesus was delivered for us. People, we are the package that only God and His Son can truly deliver. Now, I'm guessing that most of us have wished, perhaps we're wishing today, perhaps we're in that place today, where we know ourselves, we know someone, we love someone, we've been praying for someone that needs delivered from a place of sin to a place of salvation from the world to our Lord. Question is, who is it? Are we and are they special enough, cared about enough, loved and cherished enough? Are they an important piece that God can deliver to a better place? And the answer is a resounding yes. Yes. In fact, verse 2:9 confirms this. Peter says this. He says, you are delivered. You are Christians. You are a chosen people, God's special possession. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, God loves us this much that He wants to deliver us from a place of sin to a place of salvation. Many people would say, I'm not that special. God can't love me. If He knows what I did to Him, He would never deliver me to Him. And I can tell you that you are special enough to Him that He wants to deliver you from sin. That's just how special we are. Now, a lot of people would say, wait a second, but we're not good, and you're right. Only God is good. But God deems us to be special enough to take us from a place of sin to that place of salvation. The question is, do we want it enough? He loves us, which means that He wants to deliver us from sin to Him. John 3:16, one of the most quoted verses in the entire world. Everybody knows it, right? For God so loved the world. Do you realize that He did not say, for God so loved the saved world? Do you realize that He said He did not so love the Christian world? Did you realize that He did not say He loved the believing world? It says He loved the world, which means that He loves us, He cares about us, and He sent His Son to die for us, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life. Now, that's an important thing because today we have to lean on this. You see, He was delivered, Jesus was delivered to the cross for us. Romans 5:8, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, listen to these words, while we were still sinners. Think about that. You see, many people today would say something like this. Well, God sent Jesus to die for Christians. And I'm going to say this. God sent Jesus to die to make us Christians. God sent Jesus to the cross. He delivered Him to the cross so we could be saved by Jesus. That is exactly His plan. In God's eyes, we are a special loved people that need a special God-given delivery from sin and evil. Paul said in Romans 7:24 and 25, and by the way, Romans 7:15 through 25 is one of the greatest laments you'll ever read in Scripture. It is Paul being real. And Paul never had a problem with being real. But in Romans 7:15 through 25, you'll see him being real. But specifically in verses 24 and 25, he says this. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul, imagine Paul so strong in his face saying this. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Paul understood God and Jesus' special delivery. My question today is this, folks. Do we? I'm going to look at our sermon text. It comes from Colossians. And by the way, if you look at this and say, wait a second, I remember this. It's because last week we read Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Today we're going to add on to that. We're going to read verses 11 through 23. And here's what Paul has to say in those verses. Starting with verse 11, he says, we are praying to that you will be filled with His mighty, glorious strength so that you can keep going no matter what happens, always full of the joy of the Lord, and always thankful to the Father who has made us fit to share all the wonderful things that belong to those who live in the kingdom of light. Verse 13. For he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all our sins. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't. The spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and glory. Verse 17, he was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together. He is the head of the body made up of his people. That is his church, which he began. He's the leader of all those who arise from the dead, so that he is first in everything, for God wanted all of himself to be in his Son. Now listen to the delivery path that we're talking about, starting with verse 20. It was through what his Son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to him. All things in heaven and on earth. For Christ's death on the cross has made peace with God for all by his blood. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, you hated him, and were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. And yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body, and now as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God, and you're standing there before him with nothing left against you, nothing left that he could even chide you for. The only condition is that you fully believe the truth, standing in it steadfast and firm, strong in the Lord, convinced of the good news that Jesus died for you, and never shifting from trusting him to save you. This is the wonderful news that came to each of you and is now spreading all over the world, and I, Paul, have the joy of telling it to others. You know, in verse 13, we read the word rescued is found in the Living Bible. But listen to what the New American Bible says about that very same verse. It says, he delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now I'm going to talk about that. Because in this passage, what we are seeing is we are seeing man in a bad place, but man needing to be taken to a God place, and there's only one person that can take us to this place, and that is God the Father and Jesus the Son. They're the only ones that can take us from that place of sin to that place of salvation. You know, it's interesting because in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15, when we do marriage counseling, we always bring these two verses up. They're important verses. Here's what it says. It says, do not be teamed with those who do not love the Lord. For what do the people of God have in common with the people of sin? How can light be with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a Christian be a partner with one who doesn't believe? You see, what we're establishing in this passage, what Paul is saying is, there is a big chasm between sin and salvation. There is a large gap, and it cannot be bridged by anyone other than God and his Son, Jesus. We cannot do this. Many people have tried. Many people say, I don't need God to be good. I'm already good. I can make myself good. I can get myself to heaven, and I can assure you, we can't even get ourselves to some kind of place of salvation. We need a deliverer. Now, in this passage, it makes it very clear that power, that place called the power of darkness is a long ways away from the kingdom of Jesus. It reminds me of Jesus' account of the rich man and Lazarus, as read in Luke 16, 19 through 31. And when we look at that passage, we're given an indication of just how far that chasm is. In this passage, if you remember right, if you look at it, you will see that there's this rich man. He lives in mirth and luxury. In all of his days, he sits and he laughs and he enjoys himself in that place of mirth and luxury. And there's this guy named Lazarus who is a beggar. And he's laid at the door of the rich man's house. Now, the rich man allows him to feed off the scraps that fall from his table. But as the beggar is laying there, the dogs come and lick his sores because this man is so pathetic and so pitiful. And yet, we look at this rich man who never reaches out to him. Never gives to him, never helps him, never delivers anything to him. Many people would argue, well, wait a second. But the rich man allowed him to at least be at the door eating the scraps. The rich man should have done more. He should have given him more than the scraps. He should have loved him, cared for him, helped him, and given to him. So both die. the rich man goes to a place of torment, Lazarus goes to a place of pleasure, and their father Abraham is with Lazarus. Now, what's interesting to note is the chasm between these two is so significant that Scripture talks about it. Jesus details it. And in this passage, it says, the rich man says to Father Abraham, he says, Abraham, send Lazarus over here just to cool my tongue because I'm in anguish in these flames. It's interesting what Abraham says as he responds to the rich man. He says, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross. That's how far, that is how far sin is away from salvation. You see, that's how far sinfulness is from righteousness. This is a huge gap, and we can't cross. And so, folks, let me tell you today, if you say, well, maybe I'm in that place, let me tell you that only our deliverer can take us from that place of sin to a place of salvation. There's only one person that can bridge that gap. Today, we need Jesus Christ to do this. Now, if you've ever ordered anything online, you're familiar with these two words, delivery tracker. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've utilized it. Maybe you've watched it. Here's how delivery tracker works. When you order something online, let's say you order it from New Jersey, you can actually get online and you will have the ability to watch your item go from place of origin to your destination. It's really kind of neat. So you can see, if you order it in New Jersey, you can see the various stops it makes all the way until it gets to your front porch. Delivery tracker. Now, what's interesting about delivery tracker is that you can watch your package, you can watch your piece, you can watch your present, you can even watch your pizza. Pizza Hut has delivery tracker. You can watch delivery tracker for four blocks as Pizza Hut delivers your pizza to your place. Folks, technology is a beautiful thing. But here's what's interesting. With delivery tracker, there is a path, there is a plan, and there is a process. Now, let's talk about our special and spiritual delivery, because it involves a similar track and a similar plan and a similar path. And it is used and it is initiated by our capital D deliverers. You see, our delivery process instituted by Jesus can be tracked by us. And you say, wait a second, what do you mean by that? And I can tell you that if you are in a place of sin, if you've been in a place of sin, if you know someone who's in a place of sin, you can actually help them, or you yourself can understand how you can be delivered from this sin. Scripture gives us an actual delivery tracker that allows us to see how we are delivered from a place of sin to a place of salvation. And today, I am going to share with you words that you've heard, but today I'm going to encourage you, write down the words, study them and know them, because when you are talking to someone, this will help them to understand how to be delivered, help us to understand how to be delivered from sin to salvation. We have our own delivery tracker. You see, this delivery from sin to salvation and ultimately to heaven is both special and spiritual. And it is done by God the Father and Jesus our Savior, who, according to verses 15 through 19 of our sermon text, are perfectly and wholly capable and equal. They're both our deliverers. They function together. You can't have one without the other. In essence, only God and Jesus can deliver us. And thus, for this to happen, as we said earlier, Jesus had to be delivered to the cross for all of us. Mark 9:31 tells us this, but listen to what Mark 10:33 says. Using pronoun references of I or he, Jesus prepared his disciples for his coming death. And he says, I or he, depending on what passage you read, shall be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. He shall be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. His delivery to the cross ensures our deliverance from sin when we choose to believe in and live and love for him. If you say this, if you say, well, I want to be delivered. If you say, maybe I've already been delivered, let me tell you how you can be delivered or how you've been delivered. You have said with your own mouth, Romans 10:9-10, you have confessed your sins and you have said, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and today I choose to live for Jesus. This is the beginning of your delivery process. This is how it works. You see, Jesus had to become sin. And so, folks, if you say, well, where does the delivery process begin? It starts with your origin. It starts with my origin, which is sin. This is where we begin. It's called original depravity. We're all born with it. We all have it. We all share it. I wish we didn't, but we do. this belongs to me and you. Sin is our origin. It's our place of beginning. There had to be a one time, a last time, a perfectly holy sacrifice for sin. And in Hebrews 10, 1 through 18, we read this. Jesus did this. He was the perfect last final sacrifice for our sins. So folks, to be delivered to, we must know what we need to be delivered from. Our origin is sin. Look at verses 13 and 14 of our sermon text, and we can see just that. And in it, Paul says this in these special verses. He says, "For God has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who bought our freedom with his blood," listen to this, "and forgave us all our sins." Ugh. I don't even like the word all, because all connotes something that all of us share, and that is a sin nature. And that means if all of us have a sin nature, we better have a deliverer. We need a savior. Today we recognize that Jesus Christ is in fact our deliverer and our savior. Romans 3:23 says this, "All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God." Our delivery comes from the one who was delivered up to become our sin. So let's start. If sin is the origin, here's your second word that you're going to write down. And this is a word, folks, I can tell you, you probably have never said, you may never have heard. It's a biblical word. In 1 John 2:2, he, Jesus, is the, here it comes, he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now let's talk about that word propitiation. If you're writing it down, P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. Propitiation is to appease. It is to appease. And what that means is if you want to be delivered from a place of sin to a place of salvation, we'd better have someone that can do it. Jesus can do it. He appeased God. He appeased his Father by saying, "I'll become man's Savior." He is our propitiation. Thus, Jesus was delivered to the cross to pay for the price for sin as deemed by our holy, righteous God. He appeased God. He is our propitiation. Someone says, "I can get to heaven without Jesus, the Savior, God the Father." I can tell you that is not the case. We can get to heaven when we choose to believe in and love and live for Jesus and understand that Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. Our special delivery starts with propitiation, Romans 3:25, but it doesn't end there. This is simply the beginning of our delivery tracking process. It begins with propitiation or the atoning death of Jesus, but it doesn't end with this. Next comes another word. Write this one down. This is called redemption. Redemption. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible calls this, quote, "deliverance by payment of a price." Look at verses 13 and 14. And we read from the New American Bible, and it says this, "He, God, delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." But then it goes on and it says, "in whom we have redemption," the forgiveness of sins. Now this redemption is important because we know that we have been bought with a price. Salvation, someone said salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Think about that for a moment. It had to be purchased. There had to be a price. That price was the life of Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. Redemption requires a redeemer who in fact is our deliverer to pay for the price to ensure our freedom. Our delivery from sin requires redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says this, "In Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Grace is a gift. Grace is free. Grace is freely given by God Almighty. And it's given to everybody who says, "I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to be part of this thing called Christianity." Now let me tell you about redemption. My wife and I love gift cards. We do. My wife hates cooking. She's good at it, but she doesn't like it. And we love gift cards. And so when we receive gift cards for dinner out, it's amazing. It's so special. Now, there's one person in particular that we think of right here in this very church that has made a habit of giving us gift cards, and I love her so much for so many reasons, not just because of the gift cards, but the gift cards really help. And one of the great things is when we go to this restaurant, because it's always the same restaurant, and every time we go to this restaurant, and every time we sit in this restaurant, and every time we present a gift card, I can tell you this, when I'm sitting in that restaurant, It's as if she was sitting with us. It's as if she's part of us. We literally talk about this individual at the restaurant. And we're like, boy, that was really great lobster. And I can thank this person because of it. And when we redeem those gift cards, we realize we didn't pay for it. She paid the price for it. We just get to enjoy it. Welcome to Christianity. You didn't do anything for it. I didn't do anything for it. Jesus Christ paid for it. You get to enjoy it. It is free, but it wasn't cheap. When I go to my Red Lobster supper, I know that for me it was free, but for that person, it wasn't cheap. A price was paid. Redemption. Propitiation means appeasement. Well, let me tell you, redemption means payment. From redemption comes this next thing called reconciliation. Write that one down. Reconciliation. Earlier we said that delivery involves getting an important piece to an important place. We are that important. I know it sounds strange. We are that important, special piece. And God's earthly eternal kingdom is that important, special place. Look at verses 20 and 22 of our sermon text. And I'm going to read it from both places. It was through what his son did that God cleared a path for everything. A delivery has to have a path. He cleared a path for everything to come to him. All things in heaven and on earth, for Christ's death on the cross has made peace with God for all by his blood. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, you hated him, you were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, and yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body, and now as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God, and you're standing there before him with nothing left against you, nothing left that he can even chide you for. I love this. Through him to reconcile all things for him. He is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Now, folks, let me make sure we understand this. We start in a place of sin. That's our origin. God says, I don't want you in that place of sin. I want you in a place of salvation. I want you to be with me. That is the ode of Christianity. God says, I want you with me. The question is, do we want to be with him? Are we willing to understand and to recognize this thing called reconciliation? Now, we understand today that reconciliation is the process by which man and God are joined together, and God wants us joined together. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, be reconciled to God. This is the peace being delivered to the place. What else is involved in our delivery from sin to salvation and ultimately to heaven? The next thing in our special spiritual delivery is this thing called sanctification. You want to write that down. Sanctification. Sanctification. Let's talk about that. This means that during our delivery, we are set apart. This is where we go. Look at verse 12 and look at verse 22. Giving thanks to the Father who has made you to fit and share in the inheritance of the holy. That's a key word, of the holy ones in the light. And then we move to verse 22. So as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. If sanctification means to be set apart, sanctification also means to be made holy through God Almighty. And we can't do it on our own. This is sanctification. We are set apart to be holy before God Almighty. This is what's called positional sanctification. It means that when we choose to believe in and love and live for Jesus, we are sanctified before Jesus. We are made holy and righteous before Jesus. Sanctification is part of our delivery process. Today we need this. Today we understand how important this is. Propitiation, redemption, reconciliation. Now I want to talk about another one, because we're going to come back to sanctification. Folks, you can't have sanctification unless you have justification. Let's talk about justification. As part of our special spiritual delivery, this is a big one. You see, justification is the act of God in which he pronounces a sinner to be righteous through Jesus. Justification is elemental to our delivery from sin. Justification is done by Jesus, who is our deliverer and our justifier. He declares us right. Can you imagine someone coming up and saying, hey, you're okay. Hey, you're right. Wouldn't we love to hear that? You're right. I love when someone says you're right. It's so rare that I hear it, especially when I talk about sports. Romans 4:25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Justification is critical. We are justified or declared righteous by his grace, Romans 3:24, his blood, Romans 5:9, and by our faith, Romans 5:1. If you want sanctification, we got to have justification. God's holiness demands our righteousness, and the only way to experience this righteousness is by and through our deliverer from sin to Jesus. Let's keep tracking. Let's talk about adoption. This should warm our hearts. Justification brings on adoption. Let's talk about adoption. That word appears five times in the English Bible. Three times Paul teaches us how important this term is and how it applies to us. Romans 8:15, we have received the spirit of adoption. Galatians 4:5, he could adopt us into as his very own sons. And then finally, Ephesians 1:5 says his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us, to be delivered to him. Folks, we got to be adopted by him. We are delivered into God's family. You ever been in a delivery room? I've been in there twice. And I remember thinking, wow, we're going from womb to room. What it is, delivery is womb to room. I remember when we had our kids, I loved the room. Not so crazy about the womb. And I loved the room, and let me tell you why I loved the room, because the kid was born. And I got to hold a clean kid. That was nice. And I got to hold a diapered kid. That was nice. And I remember the last night in that room, they gave a steak dinner both times, and that was nice. And I remember thinking, I don't want to leave this room. They take care of my kid. They diaper my kid. They bathe my kid. I don't want to leave this room because they seem to love my kid. And then I went home, and it was all downhill from there. My poor wife, he doesn't know what he's doing. You're right. I wanted to go back to the room. Now, here's my point, folks. That was womb to room. That was what would be called a natural delivery. Let me talk about a spiritual delivery. A spiritual delivery is not womb to room, it's sin to salvation. It's not womb to room, sin to salvation. That's our spiritual delivery. Folks, that's how we have to look at this. If we can all assess that we have been born into sin, we need to be adopted into a family that has no sin. And the only family that we can have is when God the Father is our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And they can declare us part of their family. That's adoption. And adoption gets us into God's family. Now we understand that we can apply this sanctification. Because once we're in God's family, there's holiness in Jesus. Now, this holiness in Jesus is, number one, we talked about it, it's positional sanctification. That means that when we believe in Jesus, we start to understand holiness. You'll start to look at yourself and you'll say, oh, wow, I was really bad. Other people will look at you and they'll say, wow, you might have been really bad. And now we can look at this and we can say, but how good is God? This is positional sanctification. It is when we are declared to be holy. But folks, let me tell you, we don't just arrive. A lot of people say, well, this is great. I'm now steeped in holiness. Remember that within 5 minutes, you'll be sinning again. And so what we need is we need something else. We need more from God. And so what God does is he continues to sanctify us through Jesus. And what that means is when we continue to sin, he will continue to steep us in holiness when we learn to trust in him and confess our sins, our origin. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us sanctification. Romans 6:22, and folks, listen closely. We are free from the power of sin. The benefits include holiness and everlasting life. We are sanctified by God and we are made holy, but we are also called to be holy. Now, what does that mean? That means that if we are made into holiness, that means that we're still going to sin. That belongs to all of us. And so what that means is we got to continue to confess our sins and ask God to make us holy and righteous before him. We're sinners. We're sinners, still believers, but still sinners. This is a process. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 and 1 Thessalonians 4:4 tells us this. And thus you're going to be introduced to something. I want you to write it down. It's called experiential sanctification. What that means is, taken from the word experience, that means in your life you're going to have to continue to be sanctified. This willful desire to be holy and continually sanctified expresses our desire to be delivered from sin into presence with him. How many people have ever ordered a package online and it arrives damaged? How do you feel about that? Hey, great. I actually like it more since it's broken. I thought I'd really like it if it was fine, but now that it's broken, I really want to keep it. I'm guessing you don't respond like that. I'm guessing that when you order a package and it comes damaged, I'm guessing the first thing you do is you want to send it back. You won't accept it, you'll reject it, and you'll get rid of it. Now let me tell you something, folks. We are those damaged items. That's what we are. We are damaged items. We start with sin, and when we get to that place of salvation, let me tell you something, we had better be sanctified. Because when we arrive at heaven, if we are not sanctified, if we are not steeped in God's holiness, guess what happens? We can be rejected by Jesus. Sanctified. Continually asking God to sanctify us and to help us to be like Jesus. I don't want to be damaged goods. I want to be living like Christ, and I want to represent Christ, and I want to love Christ. And to be that, we have to live like Christ, and we have to read the words given to us by Christ daily. This is what God wants from us. Lastly, in our special spiritual delivery is glorification. If you say, whoa, that sounds great, it hasn't happened yet. Glorification. Some people call this ultimate sanctification. Both words work. Glorification. This can only happen when we get our glorified bodies in heaven. I want to read Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Here's what that passage says. And when Paul talks about any type of passage like this, he doesn't mince words. Listen to this. He says, our homeland is in heaven where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. We are looking forward to his return from there. When he comes back, he will take these dying bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer all else everywhere. Now, these are powerful words. Heaven is our eternal destination, our delivery end, where we will share all glory with him. Colossians 3, verse 4. In Ephesians 2, 19, we read these words. It says, Paul says, now you're no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven. You're members of God's very own family. You're citizens of God's country. You belong in God's household with every other Christian. Folks, there is nothing that we can do for salvation. God has already done it through Jesus Christ, who paid the price. We just have to understand the delivery process made available through Jesus. Do we long to be delivered into the kingdom of God and his Son? Do we long to be delivered from our sin and to God's Son? Dr. Edgar James says this. He says, the deliverance is given to the one who believes. That from which one is delivered is sin in all of its aspects. As man is a complete sinner, so the salvation which God provides is also complete. I love when I order something online and I have to keep all the emails telling me it's on its way, it's on its way, it's on its way. And finally, when it's here and it's not damaged and I can accept it, not reject it, I love clearing my emails. It's just the OCD in me. And you want to know why? Because the transaction and the process is complete. When we get to heaven, the delivery process is complete. If you say, well, I thought it was complete when I came out of that water and was baptized. Not yet. Not yet. We still must continue to live for Jesus Christ. Do we long for a delivery that's complete? Next week, we're going to talk about how God can deliver us physically. But in order to fully experience this phenomenon, we are encouraged to first be delivered spiritually. God wants us delivered to him, near him, next to him, with him. We are not good, but God is, and we are loved, and we are special to him. He has every hair on our head numbered, Luke 12:7. Some of you have more than others. You're probably a little more special based on that. In Christian terms, a special delivery is when someone is entrusted to get something of value from an important place to an important place. Only God and his Son are the ones who can get us ultimately and finally to that place. How important and special is this delivery. Jesus said in John 6:39, and this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all that he has given me, but I should raise them to eternal life. Quick story, and then we're closing. My dad just ordered a basket for a recumbent bike. We got him that for Father's Day. He loves his recumbent bike, but he wanted a basket. I don't know why. And so he ordered the basket, and they lost it. And when they lost it, he lost it. That didn't go over well. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever ordered something and they've lost it, I'm sure you said, what? It's a process. Follow the path. They lost it. He lost it. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ will not lose us. He will not lose us as long as we do not leave him. Mark 8:37, for is anything worth more than a man's soul? Our delivery tracker starts at sin. And from there, our deliverer takes us through these things called propitiation, redemption, reconciliation, justification, adoption, and sanctification, and then ultimately glorification. To be delivered, we must be saved. My question, folks, today is this. Do you long to be saved? Do you wish to experience this delivery process? Do you want to go from a place of sin to a place of salvation and ultimately know that you are going to heaven? Do you want to do this today? We're going to go before the Lord in our pastoral prayer. I apologize we ran over. I knew this was going to be a long sermon, but folks, let me tell you, I will never apologize for sharing the plan of salvation. I just won't do it. I apologize that there are a lot of people pulling in right now saying, what in the world are they doing in there? But I don't apologize for sharing the passage and the message of salvation because we have to know how it works and how God works. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to be able to sing a final song, but we will be able to say a final prayer. And with that said, we're going to pray for all these people on our bulletin today. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Make sure and give us those needs. If you have them, we will pray over them. Heavenly Father, we are reminded today that you do not want us in a place of sin. Rather, you want us in a place of salvation. Ultimately, you want us to be in heaven, and we realize today that there is a delivery process, that you are the deliverer, and you wish to deliver us. Father, I pray today that you would help us to see just how much we need this. Father, there is no gray area in this. This is a very black and white thing. It's a delivery process that takes us from an origin to a destination, and unfortunately we realize today that our origin is sin. None of us are good. None of us are good, but God is. Jesus is, and today we recognize that you are good. Today we thank you for being our God, and we thank you for caring for us and loving us. Father, I pray today that we would long to be fully sanctified through Jesus, and I ask this according to your will. I ask that you will help us to see just how important this is. Father, I thank you for your word today that teaches us all about these words today. And Father, I pray that we will learn them and apply them. Help us to understand them, I pray. For every need that's out there, and we pray for Jeff and his family as they travel. We thank you for bringing Bill and Brendan Colton back to us safely. I pray that you'll be with every single person who's hurting and needs healing. I pray, Father, that you would lift them up and encourage them. And I pray that they and us, all of us, would ask for your will to be done according to your Son. Help us to trust in Jesus each and every day, we pray, and we ask it according to your will. I ask that you will continue to bless this congregation of believers. I pray that we will want to minister to others. I pray that we want to give and serve and love and help others. Help us to take the emphasis and the onus off of ourselves and help us to love you and to love our fellow man as we love you. And Father, I pray today that you would teach us the very truths and precepts of your written word. Thank you for the power that emanates from the Holy Spirit and the convicting power that he provides us. Help us to see today that we need him. I pray that you'll help us to see that we are in need of forgiveness of sin, and we ask it according to your will. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for everything today. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, folks, in what again, it's I think, are we at 10:15 or 10:15? I see a lot of cars out there waiting. So we are going to close service day. I apologize, we cannot do a final song, but in your hearts, you'll just sing all week, I'm sure. Thank you. Thank you, one and all, for hearing this. And I hope today that when you consider the mode of salvation, how we can be saved, that we will apply these words and use this. This is what we call the dictionary delivery. And if you need these words sent to you in chronological order, we can email them to you. We can send them to you. We'd be happy to do it. Keep in mind, there is a lot. We've never had this many scriptures in one sermon before. Utilize this list as your means to study this. And we ask that according to God's will as well. Have a great week, everyone. God bless.